We continue six lines down from the top of Chaf Ches Amr Aleph. We've been discussing the circumstances on which a person is not allowed to be healed by an idolater. The last thing we spoke about was a makah shel chalal, some sort of internal wound. You're not allowed to have an idolater heal you for that. Now the Gemara goes on a one-line tangent. Rashi seems to indicate that there was another girsa, which didn't make sense to him, but actually might have made the flow a little bit better. But nevertheless, the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Kol Maka Shetzricha Omeid Mechalalin Aleis HaShabbos. That any wound which requires some sort of estimation, where you need to get it tested to see whether it's very serious or not, you should be Mechalal Shabbos. Clearly, if you're concerned that this is a problem, that this is a life-threatening illness, then you should be Mechalal Shabbos for this illness. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Vahai Ishta Tzmirta Kemaka Shel Chalal Dami. And I guess this is the connection. An Ishta Tzmirta, a high fever, as Rashi says, a Choli Chama, a high fever, is like an internal wound. So therefore, if it needs an omed and it's a high fever, something like that, that's the connection. It's like an internal wound. I saw quoted in the Art Scroll footnotes from Rav Moshe Feinstein that 102 fever, according to Rav Moshe, is considered a choli chama, and therefore you should be mechalal Shabbos for it. But of course, according to this Gemara, Ein Misrapin Mehem, our focus is on that an idolater should not be the one healing the fellow with the high fever. Amar Rav Sheven Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yo, sorry, I just did that. Now the Gemara goes back. Meheichan Maka Shel Chalal. Where does this internal wounds begin? I mean, we said any internal wound is something which an idolater shouldn't heal. Well, what is considered an eternal wound? Well, we know obviously in the stomach it's an eternal wound, a bruise of some sort. But what about where does it begin from? Pirish Rabbi Ami min asafa v'lifnim. It already begins from the mouth, from the inside of the lip. Anything inside the lip is considered internal. Boy Rabbi Eliezer. So only in true Gemara form, Rabbi Eliezer asked the question: Kachi v'shini mai. What about your gums and your teeth? Since they're hard, perhaps we're going to view it as an external wound, even though it's inside the mouth. Or since it's inside the mouth, it's considered internal. By the way, Tosfos doesn't think kachi are gums. He thinks kachi are larger teeth and shini are smaller teeth. Anyhow, nevertheless, Amar Abaye, what's the halachic status of the gums and teeth? Tashma, so we'll bring the following proof. Hachoshesh b'shinav lo yigma behen esachometz. The Brisa in Shabbos says that if a person's teeth are bothering them, they have a toothache, on Shabbos they are not allowed to swig some vinegar in order to take the pain away. Why not? It's because it's Shabbos. And it's only choshesh, as the Gemara says, choshesh shutulo. It's only when it's just bothering you, it's a minor nuisance. Hakiv leituva, but if it's something very serious, if it's excruciating pain, shaper dummy, then you would be allowed to. Well, that seems to indicate that if it's a lot of pain, you're allowed to swig this chometz. That should be that your teeth, your gums, are considered like a maka shel halal. Gemara says that's not necessarily a good proof. Tana hecha de ki'iv leituva choshesh nami karele. Well, it can be called choshesh even when it's bothering you a lot. According to this Tana, maybe he'll say that excruciating pain is just like choshesh, and therefore, or at least the way he would define ki'iv leituva, it's bothering him a lot. For him, he has a higher threshold for tolerance for pain, and therefore, that's not necessarily a good proof to determine whether your gums or teeth are considered an internal wound. So the Gemara tries to give another proof. This is a bit of a longer one. Tashma, Rabbi Yochanan chash bitzafdina. Rabbi Yochanan had, again, some sort of pain in his teeth. Azul lagabata himachurnisa. He came to this woman, this idolatrous woman, as Rashi points out. Chamsha Umali Shapsa, she gave him some medicine of some sort on, or started to heal him on Thursdays and Fridays. Amrle Lamachar. So it was Thursday and Friday. Now it came to the Shabbos. So he said to her, "What should I do tomorrow?" Amrle Lo, you're not going to need anything for on Shabbos. Itzrich, but what if I am going to need something? Amra, she said to him, "Ishtabali delo miglis." Well, I'll tell it to you because you're not, I guess, going to come to my house on Shabbos, but you have to swear that you're not going to tell anybody my secret. He swore to the God of Israel that he wouldn't reveal anything. However, Galya, but the next day, after she told him the secret, he revealed it. Lamachar, Nafik Drasha Bepirka. He went out and gave the drasha or spoke about this healing in public. The Gemara says, and again, we're going to get back to the Makal Shachalal in a moment. But he swore that he wasn't going to do it. The Gemara answers, Le'elhadi Yisrael lo maglina, aval ame Yisrael maglina. The verse seems to be a bit of a technicality. He swore that he wouldn't reveal it to the God of Israel, but he didn't say he wouldn't reveal it to the people of Israel, and that's why he publicized it. The Gemara says, but that's really strange. That's pretty inappropriate. That's a desecration of God's name, that he's just fooling her and using it as a pretext to publicize her secrets. The Gemara says, no, de gali la meikara. He told her right away. In other words, right after he said, "I swear by the God of Israel that I'm not gonna, I swear to the God of Israel, I'm not gonna say anything," and then she told him, he said, "Oh, you see, I only swore to the God of Israel, I won't reveal it, but I'll reveal it to everybody else." So she knew what was coming. Anyhow, the point is, as the Gemara says, "Alma kemaka shel chalal damya." Clearly, this is viewed as a maka shel chalal, an internal wound. Why? Because on Shabbos, he had a concern of what to do, and she told him what to do. Therefore, clearly we're dealing with a makas shel chalal here. So teeth would be considered a makas shel chalal. So Gemara answers no. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak shiny tzafdina ho'el amaschil bepeh v'gomer b'bnei me'ayim. This is a little different. Tzafdina is an illness which begins on the teeth but goes all the way down to the stomach. So since it's something which is more serious, well, even though right now it may not be a makas shel chalal because it begins by the mouth, but where it ends, we know it's a makas shel chalal, so we want to try to cut it off before it spreads. So the Gemara continues, "My Samane." Well, we have this whole big story about this the secret to heal this toothache, this tzafdina. Well, what is it? Rami midi beikachi umaisa dma beidari. So, sorry, not what it's. What are the symptoms of this tzafdina? Take something in your. You put something in your gums, or in your mouth. Umaisi dma mi beidari, and you'll. And all of a sudden, your teeth will start bleeding. That's what it was. Mimai havu. Well, how do you get it? You know, you contract it. It's by eating very cold wheat or very hot barley or the leftovers of fried fish. Don't ask, I have no clue. My avdale. So, what was the secret? Now, here's the question. What was the secret that this matronisa had to heal Rabbi Yochanan? Melach. One opinion says it was meis'or, it was the water of yeast and oil and olives and salt. And Mar Bar Avashi said it was goose fat with a feather of a goose, some sort of mixed dish. Amar Abaye, Ana Avdu Kuluv Lo Itzase, I tried all these remedies and it didn't work. Ad Amar Lehutai, until a certain Arab told me, "Icy kashyasa dezesa, take a pit of an olive, de lomalu tilsa, that hadn't grown to a third of its size yet, the kalnu amara de chadasa, and burn them on a new rake, the devik bay didari, and then take this pit and put it on your gums. Avdihachi, the itzi, I did this and I was healed." So now we've had this whole long story. It looks like it's a makas shel chalal, and therefore, we had no proof that a makas shel chalal begins from the mouth, because this case of tzafdina
was one which spreads to the stomach. So we don't have a good answer. The Gemara in a moment, which we'll do tomorrow, is going to ask how could Rav Yochanan be medicated or by this matronisa? She was an idolatress. We just said any makashel halal, ain mishrapin mehim, and this is a makashel halal.